suda that we're partaking in is a sudat hodayah, a suda of thanksgiving, a sudat mitzvah. And in order to have a sudat mitzvah, which would be a complete sudat mitzvah, there is no better supplement or complement than a Dvar Torah at the Suda. We asked our newest member of the Kollel staff, Rav Reuven Spalter, who in his youth was a member of the Kollel and went after his year in the Kollel to America, where he served in the Rabbanut with distinction for a number of years. And then 3 years ago, fulfilled the dream that he and his wife had of returning to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, with a wonderful family. And he now lives in Eretz Yisrael, is teaching and working, gathering students for a Israeli women's seminary for Orot in Elkanah. And we've had the good pleasure this year of having him as the CJF representative in the Kollel, who is in charge both of the women's medrashiyah and of the men's outreach program. And I'd like to introduce Rav Reuven Spalter to speak to you this evening.
Okay. Chag Sameach, everybody. You know what it means when a rabbi takes off his watch and puts it down in front of him before he gives a speech? You guys know the answer to that, right? It means nothing. Okay. I want to talk about why are we here? I mean, why are we here? It was a good joke. Why are we here? And why am I here? Why are we here? And in doing that, I want to ask you to ask yourself, take a few minutes to ask yourself, a moment, to think about, how do I identify myself? How do I see myself? I remember when I was in NYU, there used to be a very well-known columnist in the New York Times named A.M. Rosenthal. He was like the Thomas Friedman of his time. And you all know who that is. Okay. And Rosenthal came to YU to speak. And he said that there was this Senate shiur, kilu. There was a caucus, and they asked him once to speak at their prayer breakfast. And they wanted to know, they said to, you know, Mr. Rosenthal, we want you to talk about what it means to be a Jewish American. And he said, I knew what they meant. He said they meant, what they wanted to know is, do we Jews have dual loyalty? And of course, he said, I reassured them that the answer was no. And I walked away from Mr. Rosenthal's talk. It was a very fascinating talk. And I thought to myself, really? You don't have dual loyalty? What does that say about who we are? How I identify myself? If I were to ask you, how do you identify yourself? It's a very different, big difference. Do you think of yourself, let's assume most of you are American, is that fair to say? Do you think of yourself as a Jewish American or as an American Jew? I ask again. Do you think of yourself as a Jewish American or as an American Jew? You say, well, it's the same thing, isn't it? Oh, no. Totally different world. Because the question is, what's the noun and what's the adjective? What's the, what we would call the koveya? Right? What's the ribui and the mute? I guess how you want to say it. Am I a Jewish American? So I'm an American. But how do I identify my Americanness? I'm a Jewish American. On the other hand, you say, no, if I'm an American Jew, I'm really a Jew. Deep down, I'm a Jew. But my nationality is American. And I suggest to you today One of the reasons that we are here tonight is to celebrate the idea that we, the Jewish people, are not Jewish Americans. We're American Jews. That our identity, our nationality, who we are as a people, is Jewish. One of the challenges that Chazal faced when they saw Bnei Israel going into Galut is, how do we preserve this? How do we keep this going when there's no longer an Eretz Israel? How do we continue Am Yisrael? So they created, in their infinite wisdom, a brilliant structure for Yadu to continue. But over that long period of time, we forgot what it meant to be an Am. We forgot the implication of what it meant to be a nation. And so we came to believe and came to think that there's no dual loyalty between being an American and being a Jew. I could be a Jewish American. When in reality, that nothing could be farther from the truth. Because in reality, you have to decide, what are you? I have to decide, all of us. What's my core nationality? What's my core identity? What is my Am? And clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes, the Torah believes, that our Am is supposed to be Am Yisrael. We say it every day. Shebachar banu mikol ha'amim v'natan lanu et Torato. We are an Am. We are a nation. With all the things that go along with that. That, first and foremost, is why we are here. Why we celebrate Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Of course, we were an Am before. Of course, it was an idea of Am Yisrael before. But the notion that Bnei Yisrael now return to sovereignty over their own land, they have self-determination. That's an incredibly powerful statement. And it's so powerful, I would suggest, that none of us, I don't think, Ramila, do you remember what it was like before the state? No, I don't think so. None of us remember what it's like not to have a state of Israel. So it's difficult to comprehend what kind of bracha we appreciate when we don't understand the opposite. There's a very, very, very famous Ramban at the end of Parshat Achrimot. If you haven't learned it, put it on your list of things to learn. Ramban on Vayikra Yud Chet, Perek Pasuk Chavdal. It's very interesting, very long. And Ramban goes, as you all know, Ramban was a big religious Zionist. Before there was such a thing as religious Zionism, he was a religious Zionist. And he goes through extensively what is the idea of living in Eretz Yisrael, of practicing of Judaism in Eretz Yisrael. So this is what he says, some amazing things. He says, "Va'omer." It says in the pasuk of Divrei Hayamim, "V'nichvesha ha'aretz v'nei Hashem v'lifnei amo." And the nation and the land will be conquered before Hashem. Says the Ramban, "V'chitaleil datcha." What, you think that we Jewish people conquer Eretz Yisrael from Hashem? Ella, rather, kol zman shehen aleha, whenever the Jewish people are in the land, ki'ilu hi mechubeshet, it's as if it is conquered. Ha'ina aleha, if we are not in the land, ha'ina mechubeshet. It's as if it is not conquered. By who? Kaviyachal, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He continues. This is a very, very famous Gemara. He says, one second. Umin ha'inyan hazeh amru b'sifri, Chazal said in Sifri, va'avaretem mehira, we say in Shema, you will be lost quickly if we worship Avodah Zarah. Afal pi shani megalet chi min ha'aretz v'chutz ha'aretz. Even though I exile you into Chutz La'aretz, hayu betzuyani b'mitzvot. Continue to practice, be determined, be diligent in performing mitzvot. Why? Shekeshetachzuru lo yu aleichem chadashim. Because when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, so that they won't be new. Have you all heard this Ramban before? Yeah, have you taught them this Ramban before?
A couple of times,
so it's not new. I.e., it seems like it's all practice in Galut. Okay? The last one I'll give you. Lefikach amru sifrei, they said, v'yirishtem ota, v'yishtabtem ba, v'shmartem la'asot, yishivat eretz Yisrael shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvot shebetorah. Living in Israel is as if it's fulfilling all the mitzvot in the Torah. So how are we supposed to understand that? What does that mean? Does that mean that when you go back to America, you don't have to keep a mitzvot? No, of course not. But what it means is that the fulfillment of mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael is fundamentally different than it is outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's qualitatively different. It's more meaningful. It's more deep. It's more powerful. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, He said to us, "Batem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim begoy kadosh." And you will be for me a mamlechet kohanim and a goy kadosh. We are supposed to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're supposed to bring godliness to the world. And while every individual obviously has the power to do that, our true mission will never be fulfilled as individuals. It will only be fulfilled as a nation. And 63 years ago, on this day, when the state of Israel was established, and the Jewish people returned to sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael, we took a huge step in that direction. Last night we had in my yeshuv in Yad Binyamin, we had the Yom HaZikaron commemoration. And it was very powerful and very moving and very beautiful to me to remember the soldiers and to think about the sacrifices that they made. And it struck me how naturally everything seemed to go together. On the one hand, we remembered and we were thinking and there was recitation, but there was also Kaddish and Kelmale and all of the religious things that we associate with mourning. They fit really well into the rubric of it was an Israeli event. It was a national event. It was not a religious event. But it really melded well together. And I'm always struck by how well those go together. And then we come to Yom HaAtzma'ut, and like nobody knows what to do. What Ma'ariv do we say? Do we say Tehillim? Can you? And that's because the job isn't done yet. We're not finished, obviously. We celebrate a beginning. But there's more to do. All right, I want to switch gears totally and ask a seemingly unrelated question. So you've all heard the Israel spiel before. It's important to hear it again, especially in Yom HaAtzma'ut. What does that mean for you? What am I doing here? So I have a cousin who lives in the metropolitan tri-state area. And he is a little bit more than a year older than me. So he just celebrated his 40th birthday. And every year, since he's a little bit older than me, he's like a little bit more than a year older than me, I always send him on his birthday, happy birthday. And I give him a little nudge about how old he is. And like you know, 2 years, I can't believe you're 38. Oh, you're almost 40. You know, they'll get it soon. You know, they'll get it soon. But this year, he turned 40 and I'm turning 39. And so like I emailed him and I said,
"Look forward to next year.
I don't have any energy to make fun of you. It's too close. I can't do it." So he emails me back the following. He says, "Thanks. I'm semi-depressed about it. Not unhappy with where I am, but recognizing that many of my life's decisions have already been made and the path set." I love my cousin, but his email made me very sad. How many of us here think that at 40, many of life's decisions have already been made and the path is set? Who knows? 40 for you guys is like, you know, eons. Okay, 25, 20. Have your decisions been made and your path is set? I submit to you, we're now in Sefirat HaOmer. I want to study a little bit with you about Sefirat HaOmer, because this idea of the ability to change direction, to be open to new possibilities, is critical. It's what I'm doing here. So obviously when Sefirat HaOmer, I heard a shiur last week from a very, very wonderful Rav. His name is Rav Erez Moshe Doron. He's very big into the Chassidus Breslov, very big. You can do a search on the internet. He's got English shiurim also. And he spoke about Sefirat HaOmer. And obviously, who is the fundamental, the primary motivating character that we identify with in Sefirat HaOmer? Everybody? Rabbi Akiva. Right? The whole reason that we have the morning on Sefirat HaOmer is because the 12,000 pairs of students of Rabbi Akiva were lost. So anybody know what Rabbi Akiva did for the first 40 years of his life?
He was a
what?
Shepherd.
He was a shepherd. Right? But of course he was the frum shepherd. He would daven in the morning, learn a little bit, couple mishnayos, staff yomi, right? And then go to shepherding, do his job, come back, right? He didn't know anything. Not only that, the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim? I just have to find it. The Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim the following. This is what Rabbi Akiva used to say. Shaiti Am Haaretz, he says. When I was in Am Haaretz, Amarte, I used to say, Mi yiten li tamid chacham v'anashchenu kachamor. You bring a rabbi in front of me, I'll bite him like a mule. He hated rabbis, he hated religion. You know, we're all familiar with people like that. The rabbi has all the problem, Frumkeit's the problem, you Orthodox are the problem, all you do is fight about things, you don't get along with anybody. That was Rabbi Akiva until the age of 40. Rabbi Akiva. So something happened with him. What happened to him? I doubt it was an instantaneous process, but he changed. Says the Mishnah in Avot Rabbi Natan. Ben arba'im shana haya velo shina klum. Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old, didn't know anything. What didn't he know? Didn't even know alphabet. He was standing by a be'er, by a well. And the Mishnah says that he saw in the well, have you ever seen, like sometimes in a well, like the water drips. Drip, drip. And where the water dripped down, it was always dripping. He saw in the well, there was a stone where the water dripped. And the stone had created an indentation in the well. And the water sort of like gathered it. And Rabbi Akiva did a kal vachomer. And he said, Ma rach piselet hakasheh. If this water, which is soft, can hew out this impossibly hard stone. Divrei Torah shekasheh kebarzel al achat kama vekama shiachakku et libi. Maybe the words of Torah can penetrate my heart. So what did he do? He went to learn Torah. So he says, Biyad immediately halachu b'no. Where did he go? You think, okay, he went like to an online course and he's learning in Web Yeshiva and he downloaded some Shirman on YU Torah. You know, it's private, right? No. Yashvu Eitzel Malamdei Tinokot. He and his son, they went to go learn together. Amru lo Rabbeini Rabbi Lamdeini Torah. Sit, teach me Torah. Katalo Aleph Bet. He didn't know how to read. Hayalomed Beholech Ad Shalamad Kol HaTorah. Rabbi Akiva, said Rabbi Doron, is the symbol of Sefirat HaOmer, because Sefirat HaOmer itself represents the idea that you can take an Am that was in the lowest level of Tuma, on the lowest level of depravity of Egypt, of Mitzrayim, and you can raise them up to the point where they're ready to accept the Torah. But you can't do it in one jump. You can't jump all at once. I assume that some of you have undergone this phenomenon. Sometimes the year in Israel can be sort of jarring. You know? Like, you come from America, you went to good schools, and you think that you learned everything, and then you come and you realize, why didn't they teach me this when I was there? Where have I been all this time? And some guys, they do it little by little. Some guys jump, and it's a little too much. And then they have to pull back. Growth is meant to be little by little. Drop by drop, step by step. Hayom achad ve'esrim yom. Today is 21, yesterday was 20. Tomorrow will be another day. One day at a time. So what am I doing here? So as you all know, I was a rabbi in Oak Park, Michigan. Well, you don't know that, but you know I was a shul rabbi. And shul rabbis have it very hard. Because if you're a computer programmer and you want to make aliyah, you know that there's like a job for you. You know, if you're a accountant, if you're an engineer, you know they have engineers. But one thing you also know about Israel is there are no shul rabbis. That's true. You know, is this familiar to any of the guys in the Gris Kollel? I mean, there are shul rabbis. They just won't pay you any money to be the shul rabbi. And it's a gut-wrenching issue. Because I must say, I liked being a rabbi. And I think I was pretty good at it. And it was very hard. It was challenging. So what happened? There was a sports doctor who lived in Oak Park. His name was Dr. Joe Weiss, as he's called on the rabbi. And Joe Weiss, great guy, really good guy. He was one of the very important member of our shul. And I remember my first year, he had us over for lunch, and he was learning this book called Ema Banim Semecha. Okay? You all heard of it? I give a shiur on it, available on iTunes for the price of absolutely free. And never pass up an opportunity to make a little pitch. It's good. Okay. And he was learning it in English. And I remember never having read the book. Never read it. I'd heard of it, maybe. But he showed me, he was so moved by some of the things in it, he was underlining passages. Very nice. Great. Wonderful. Joe Weiss, his son, Daniel Weiss, who went to YU, friend of the Kollel, was in Shalavim at the time, and he was going to drive to Toronto to pick up his daughter in high school from Detroit, 4-hour drive, and fly together to go visit her, you know, to go visit. It was like a vacation. I remember Friday night, I'm walking back from Shalom Zachar, and people came, they said, Rabbi, we're looking for you. Why? Because we heard that Joe Weiss was killed in a car accident driving from Detroit to Toronto. And he was. And it was very jarring. It was very jarring for the community. It was jarring for everyone. It was jarring for me. And I say, it can't be that a person of this stature will pass on, will be gone from the community, and we don't learn in his memory. So we have to learn something. So I started a chabura in my house. It's probably 5 or 6 guys. What should we learn? It was obvious. We had to learn Ema Banim Semecha. As you all know by now, you don't learn something week in and week out. You don't learn Torah and have it not become part of who you are. The things that we learn, the things that we focus on, they affect us. They change us. And over a period of 3 years, we learned Ema Banim Semecha until we finished. And when you finish Ema Banim Semecha, you want to make a siyum. Where do you make a siyum? What's that? That's right. We came here to make a siyum in Eretz Yisrael. And I remember when we came, it was really exciting. You know, we're going, basically the whole shiur went, and we did some touring. And I remember when I got here, I literally couldn't eat from the moment I got here until the moment I got home. I couldn't eat. I was sick. Remember that? And I think the reason is because I knew, now I realize, the reason I couldn't eat is because I knew that things were going to come to a head one way or another. I had to make a decision. And I knew deep down that one of my two loves I'd have to give up. I'd have to decide, what do I want? Comes Rabbi Akiva. There's a very, very famous Gemara at the end of Makos. Shuv pam achad hayu only Yerushalayim. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva were going to Yerushalayim. The Gemara says when they got to Har HaBayit, they saw a fox coming out of Har HaBayit. They started to cry. And he started to laugh. Why are you crying? Why are you laughing? And he said, why are you crying? Amrullah, they said, Makom Shakatuva Zara Kariv Yumat. It says in the Torah, if anybody goes there, he should be killed. And now we see foxes running around the HaKadosh HaKadoshim, we shouldn't cry. And he said, that's why I'm laughing. Because there's a prophecy. Dichtiva Aidalachem Aidim Naamanim et Uriya Koin Bet Zacharya Ben Yivarchiu. Yervar Chiyahu, Chimayin Yan Yuriya Etzel Zecharia. Uriah b'Mikdash Rishon v'Zachariah b'Mikdash Sheni. Al Talah katu nevuato shel Zachariah v'nevuato shel Uriah. The Torah connected Zechariah and Uriah. What does it say in Uriah? Uriah k'tiv lachem b'b'lachem tzion sadeh techaresh. Uriah said, when you sin, the Eretz Yisrael will be destroyed. But Zechariah k'tiv od yeshvu zekenim uzkenot b'ruchavot Yerushalayim. And in Zechariah it says, one day zekenim elders will sit out and relax in Yerushalayim. They'll be joying in Yerushalayim. And he says, until the first one came true, I didn't know the second one would come true. He says, but now that I see the first negative prophecy come true, I know the second will come true. Even when things were bad, Rabbi Kiva said, I'm able to see the good. I'm able to see the positive. He was able to see the ability for things to change, even in an instant, even in a moment. For whatever reason, Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to raise us in America. Pretty much all of us. And I think that a lot of people say to themselves, this is what I am. What do you want from me? I can't change. First of all, you can do it at 40. You can do it at 30. You certainly can do it before you're 20. The worst thing, especially in the world today, a person can do is to say, I can't change. Because to be honest with you, in the world in which we live, you might be working for a company one day and then the company doesn't exist the next day. How many people have relatives who had to retrain in a career? It happens to the rabbi too. You might be living in America one day and say to yourself, you know, I'd really like to move to Israel, but what can I do? I can't change. It's a painful experience. It's a traumatic experience. Rabbi Akiva taught us, you could be the biggest Am HaAretz in the world, and you could grow to become the greatest gadol almost in the history of Klal Yisrael. Today we celebrate the vision that Rabbi Akiva had almost. Go take a walk. Walk up the hill and watch the celebration. He dreamed of this day. How dare we not celebrate? How dare we not give thanks to the Ribono Shel Olam for this great day? And we also at the same time pray that the change will one day be complete. And that everyone will understand that the Bnei Yisrael really are a Mamlechet Kohanim, Begoy Kadosh. Chag Sameach.